by Roku and by the internet, and our Darrell campus students who are here. Amen. Father, we give you glory, honor, thanksgiving, and praise. We thank you for this great day that you have made. We've rejoiced. We're glad in it. We thank you for ever-increasing Word Training Center. We thank you for our apostle, who's the founder of this school. We thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life and the rare anointing that's upon his life. And so we thank you tonight for the greatest teacher, that is the Holy Spirit himself. For the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will lead, guide us into all truth, bring all things to our remembrance, what things soever you said unto us. So we thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit. He's here to teach us tonight. So we have ears to hear, we have a heart to believe and receive, and we have eyes to see. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, real briefly, y'all did very well on the exam for the most part. There were 98 A's. There were 13 B's, 3 C's, and I had 2 students. One made a D and one made a F. I'm going to suggest that you contact me so we can see what the problem is. I don't believe that you just hang out in school. You have to apply yourself. And I don't think that any instructor should waste their time. I mean, if you're not going to invest the time, I told you, you cannot wing this test. You got to study. Amen. How many of y'all found that out? All right. Ain't nobody that smart. All right. So let's make sure we got that straight. Amen. All right. That's good. Let's tonight, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read the 7th verse. Then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Then we're going to go again into dealing with a working definition of the 9 manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. What does the Bible say?
But the manifestation of the Spirit.
Notice what the Bible says, but the manifestation of the what? Of the Spirit. Now, this is talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead, is what?
Is given to every man.
Is given to how many men?
Every man.
Now, that's important because in the book, the author points out moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy, and I find there's not a great desire amongst believers to move in the spiritual gifts. We kind of just sit around and think they happen. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many men?
To every man.
So that means you are included in there. But it's given to every man to do what?
To profit withal.
Now, we want to emphasize profit withal because the purpose of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is for the building up and the edifying of the church. It's not for us to show off, to show how spiritual we are. Amen. It's kingdom building. It's church building. So I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 because verse 1 says what?
Follow after charity.
Follow after charity. Follow after love.
And desire spiritual.
All right. Underline that. Cover. Covet. Desire. You must have a desire for spiritual gifts. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. So you must develop a strong desire for the things of God, but especially when it comes to moving in the gifts of the Spirit. You must do what?
Desire.
Come on, talk back to me. You must desire, say I must.
I must.
Desire.
Desire.
Spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts.
See, without the desire, there's no expectation. Y'all with me? Okay, read. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but what?
Rather that ye may prophesy.
But rather that you may prophesy. Now, we're going over some things, but remember, prophecy is the gateway to all of the gifts of the Spirit. It begins with prophecy. When you study the scriptures, first of all, we said you had to be born of the Spirit of God. You have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, once you're filled with the Spirit of God, that's the thing that opens up the heavens, opens up the gateway. Because one of the things that we emphasize in the school of ministry, as apostle is training us, is doing what? Praying in the Spirit, right? Praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 say that you be what? Strengthened with might by his Spirit in your what? Inner man. So in order for us to have spiritual development, we have to have an intimacy with God, the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And that's why that daily prayer life is important to us. So Paul said, follow after charity, huh? Desire spiritual gifts, but I rather that you do what? Prophesy. Keep reading. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue is not talking to men,
but unto God.
But he's actually supernaturally communicating with God in a language that's not known to him, but known to God. It's supernatural communication. You're not talking to men when you pray in the Spirit. Who are you talking to?
God.
Now, it's good to talk to God. Sometimes we're seeking for men to give us answers that God want to give us. Sometimes we become codependent. We depend too much on spiritual gifts. We must recognize them. We must accept them. We must understand their function. But any real man of God is going to lead you to God.
Amen.
Don't want you dependent on him. It's time for the church to grow up. You know, and growing up and reaching a level of maturity, that comes through development in the spirit world. So Paul said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who?
God.
All right, keep reading.
For no man understand.
For no man what?
Understand.
All right, so now y'all notice your homework assignment has been 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Come on, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Don't forget that. I mean, see, when you read that, when you come up in here, you're open. You understand? You can connect to what I'm saying. All right? Now, read again what it says.
For no man understand.
For no man do what?
Understand.
Okay, so when you're praying in tongues, this is not about a mental process. Your mind have no clue of what you're saying. A person around you have no clue to what you're saying because you're not talking to men. You're talking to God, but in the same breath, this is not natural. This is supernatural. So your mind can't wrap around what your spirit man is doing. But it's up to us to take the spirit man, the king, and train the servant, which is the mind. Are you with me? All right, keep reading.
Howbeit in the spirit.
Howbeit in the spirit.
He speaketh mysteries.
You're speaking what?
Mysteries.
You're speaking mysteries. You're speaking secrets. Now, if we know anything about God, God don't just want you to speak mysteries and speak secrets. What is his ultimate purpose? To reveal to you mysteries and secrets.
Amen.
That's why when you begin to pray in tongues, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you've been reading your assignment, Paul said, pray that you may interpret. See, you don't only want to desire spiritual gifts. You don't only want to desire to prophesy. All right. But when you're praying in an unknown tongue, you want to begin to seek God, to ask God what? For the interpretation. In other words, this is what you're saying to God. Let me down into the mysteries.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go a step further. Reveal to me. See, all this come through praying in the spirit. I need you to reveal to me who you are, who I am in you. What's my assignment? OK, that's important. Going to church is over.
Come on.
You got to be connected.
Yes, sir.
And you're to be connected, and you want to be an asset.
All right.
You want to connect to a vision, but you want to be one who's in position to help promote the vision. You can't do that in the flesh. You must do it in the spirit. So that's why we're not here just to talk about, you know, just the gift. You got to learn how to flow in the gifts of the spirit, because the gifts of the spirit are powerful. Jesus' ministry was built on flowing in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Okay, keep reading.
But he that prophesied.
Say, he that prophesied.
Speaking unto men.
Speaketh unto men.
To edification.
To edification.
And exhortation.
Exhortation.
And comfort.
And comfort. Now watch this. When you speak in an unknown tongue, all right, you're building up yourself, right? But nobody, because you're not talking to men, you're talking to God, no man understand you. So therefore, they cannot be edified.
Come on.
They cannot be built up. They cannot be encouraged or exalted. And they cannot be what? Comforted. So the main focus of moving in the gifts of the Spirit, it really talks about a level of what? Maturity. Because our purpose is to build people. Build them where? In the Spirit. Are you with me? Okay, keep reading.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue.
Edifies himself.
Edifies himself.
But he that prophesied.
But he who what?
Prophesied.
Does what?
Edified the church.
All right, so why did, what do we say the purpose of prophecy is? To edify the church. We have been camped out for I don't know how many years, probably the last 2,000 years, on just getting goosebumps for ourselves. Praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. Most churches you go to, that's what we do. We speak in tongues, and there's never a manifestation of the what?
Interpretation.
Gifts of the Spirit. There's never interpretations. There's, how many times have you received a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge? How many times have you experienced these gifts manifesting themselves in our midst? Well, without a desire for them, they cannot manifest.
All right.
But without beginning with the simplest of them all, everybody won't be deep. You got to start off with ABC. So the first, the gateway is prophecy. See, why do people not prophesy in church? Because of fear, right? Fear. Every one of you, you can come, you can quote all you want, 2 Timothy. The Lord didn't give me the spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power. And it's good to quote the scripture, but when it comes to prophesying, can we get some fear out you? Because, see, the Bible says when we all come together, every single one of us can be taught to prophesy. Every single believer can be taught to prophesy. Y'all look at me like, baby, this is in the Bible. You can be taught to prophesy. You follow what I'm saying? But just because you prophesy don't make you a prophet.
All right.
See, we have been getting these giftings mixed up. See, just because you didn't, because you can prophesy, don't cause you to stand in the office of a prophet. And it doesn't give you, watch this, so you can't be foretelling. Because that's the assignment of a prophet. He has the resident gift of prophecy. Y'all want to know what the resident gift means? All right. When it comes to prophecy, we all can prophesy. If the atmosphere is right, we all can prophesy. Now, you would have to find this in 1 Samuel. You remember when Saul, when Samuel anointed him to become king, and he got around the prophets who were all prophesying? What happened with Saul? He started prophesying. Was he a prophet? No, but he was around the prophetic atmosphere. Even though he didn't have the resident gift, he was able to prophesy because of the atmospheric conditions. See, when we come in the house of God and we begin to, as apostles say, the first thing is we do what? Give what? Thanksgiving to God.
Huh?
We enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving in our hearts, and we enter into his what? Courts with praise. So we come to God being thankful. Then we give God praise. Then we enter into worship. And that creates an atmosphere conducive for prophecy. Are you with me? Then you have guidelines on when you prophesy. All right. For example, if you have not developed in the spirit, have enough confidence because you're still fearful. You're intimidated because, you know, when it comes to prophesying, you're always worried about what the next fella think. In prophecy, you got the mind of God. That don't matter what they think. What you think of me is irrelevant. I'm not trying to show you who I am. I'm trying to hear from God so I can get the church built up. But you got to have a desire. Right? So that's why you're up under apostolic training and apostolic teaching, because one thing I know about apostle. See, when you start prophesying, you can't have people just want to be seen. So you have to train. So you have to develop. Now, let's be real. I don't know about you, but see, when you move enough and you've been around enough, the minute somebody open up their mouth, you know if they got it. Because first of all, prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Prophecy is what?
The testimony of Jesus Christ.
All right, so that what does that mean? That means that all prophecy is to glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Y'all got it?
Yes.
It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about y'all, but let me tell y'all something. This ought to create in you a thirst and a hunger for the things of God. Because number one, it's nothing like hearing from him.
Amen.
What did I say?
It's nothing like hearing from him.
Nothing like it. So that's why we start off with the elementary gift of prophecy, because you got to develop in it. You have to start. The unction will come upon you to prophesy. Okay. Many of you have had it. You've been in services. You have had it. You always say, is it me? Come on, can I get amen? Is it me? Spirit of God come up on you, want you to say something, and you be thinking about all of the big gifts we got. Hey, I'm just being honest. I can't tell you what I ain't been through. Because, hey, when you're around seasoned men of God, you know you can't be up here talking about playing. Come on, somebody. All right, come up here. You know, I've been in meetings where, people stand up, yay, thus saying the Lord. Apostles, they said, you don't have nothing. Sit it down. See, but he don't do that to be mean. But when you start prophesying, you got to have somebody up there who's responsible for order,
right. Conduct,
yes, keeping the gifts flowing in the manner in which they should flow.
Yes.
Are you with me? So it's important. So when the Spirit of God, because of atmospheric conditions and the atmosphere is conducive, every single one of you can prophesy. If you learn how to do a word called yield. In order to yield to the Spirit of God, you got to crucify you. Because most people in the church don't prophesy because we get into the accuracy thing. Come on now. How accurate is your prophecy? Well, sometimes you got to miss it before you make it. Well, that's all in training. Is that right? Is that all in training? But y'all know what we have in the church? We don't have people that's real.
That's right.
You understand? They won't say, I just got happy and said that.
Come on.
Because, sometimes, it don't take long for prophecy to come to pass, children. If God speaks and declares something, it is so.
Right.
It is so.
Right.
It's not going to be. It is so. Okay. Y'all got that. Okay. So, keep reading because we need to go somewhere. Read.
I would that you all speak with tongues.
Paul said, I would that all of you speak with what?
Tongues.
But rather that you what?
Prophesy.
Okay. See, now y'all know people take scriptures like this and stop the people from speaking in tongues.
Yes, right.
That is not what he was saying. What he was saying is, it is good for all of us to speak in tongues, but develop to the point where you can prophesy.
Yeah.
Now read why. Read.
For greater is he that prophesies.
For greater is he that prophesies.
Than he that speaketh with tongues.
Than he that do what?
Speaketh with tongues.
Now understanding that speaking in tongues is the what? Gateway. It's the first step. The more I pray in tongues, the more I develop my inward man, the more I get used to the atmospheric conditions being conducive to prophesy. And when you start talking about the gifts of the Spirit, now we say that prophecy, simplest definition of prophecy, is a supernatural utterance given by God the Holy Spirit to you to speak in a known language Everybody understands it. Y'all got it? Y'all got it? All right. But then we have another two gifts, diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Those two gifts combined together are equivalent to prophecy. Y'all remember I said prophecy is a dime. If I had a silver dime in my hand, I say, how much is that? You would say 10 cents, right? Well, the 10 cents we could say is prophecy. But if I say diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues and I had two nickels, well, isn't two nickels equal to one dime? So that's why Paul wants you to develop that you can not only speak in tongues, but you interpret what you're saying. Are you with me? Because it moves you out of just edifying yourself to edifying the entire body. Greater is he that prophesied than he that what? All right, because it's once again the gateway. So I want all of you to make a conscientious effort. Talk to God. Lord, I understand now that it is right for me to desire these gifts. Well, I think most people just sit back, like I say, and wait, like they just come up on you. They don't. You need to desire them. Amen. Amen. Then real men of God will begin to recognize the flow. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. Keep reading. Greater is he that prophesied.
Than he that speaketh with tongues.
Than he that speaketh with tongues.
Except he interpret.
That is, except he does what?
Interpret.
Except he interpret.
That the church may receive edifying.
That the church may receive edifying. So now, when it comes to, talks about the different kind of prayer, but Paul said, I will pray with my understanding. I mean, I could pray with my intellect in my natural language, understanding what I'm praying, but he also said, I will pray with my spirit also. When I pray with my spirit, my intellect, my mind does not understand. It cannot comprehend.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So that's when it comes to what I want God to cause me to interpret is that which my mind can't comprehend.
All right.
Now, let's go to another level. Interpretation of tongues is not translation of tongues.
Amen.
Okay. See, most people, that's why somebody can give an utterance and it might take 2-3 minutes to give the interpretation of saying that's what the Spirit is saying to the church. You know, when you read the book of the Revelation, it say, he that hath a what?
Hear.
Ear to what?
Hear.
He that hath an ear to what?
Hear.
Well, hear what? Hear what the Spirit is saying. Well, can I ask you a question? Where do you develop the ear to hear? You develop it in your personal prayer life. Paul said, speaking to the church at Corinth, if you can imagine this, I speak in tongues more than all of you.
Yeah.
Now, you ready for this? Our own apostle have said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. I got witnesses in here. And when you got a nice sized congregation and everybody on the same prayer schedule, and he say he praying in tongues more than all, 16, he gives himself to studying. And a greater part of that is praying in tongues while he's studying. I'm just trying to help you. I mean, some people got it. So this is what he have shared with us. Ask God to create in you a hunger and a thirst for his word. Now, in addition to that, ask God to. Nobody gonna answer? To give me a desire. Hunger. Thirst for what? Spiritual gifts. Got it? Okay. Last time we talked, we left off. We began to deal with the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, right? And we started talking about number 1, the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God. concerning the divine purpose, which is in the mind and in the will of God. In the word of wisdom, God reveals his purpose and his plans for the future. Y'all got it? Through the word of wisdom. Now, when you start thinking about the word of wisdom, it would have to come from the spirit of wisdom. So in Ephesians 1, watch what Paul prays concerning the church. He said, I want in all of you, you know, we have our daily prayer, but you can't forget about these apostolic prayers and Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. But in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul specifically prayed and say, you pray this way. I'm praying for you, but you could pray this for yourself.
Yeah.
See, Paul, as an apostle to the churches that he was establishing, and he wrote this to the church at Ephesus, but it's for all of us now. He say, I pray that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, what? In the knowledge of him. So once again, it shows you spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's all about pointing to Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, so let's go through an example of the word of wisdom. We talk about it. What is it? Let's see it in manifestation in the scripture. Write down Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 16. Okay, and the Bible says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said what? The Lord in a vision, what?
Ananias.
And he said,
Behold,
I am here, Lord.
And the Lord said unto
Ananias,
Arise and go
into the street which is called straight.
And inquire in the house of Judas.
For one called Saul of Tarsus.
For behold, he prayeth.
Read.
Saul had seen in a vision
a man named Ananias
coming in
and putting his hand on him
that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord,
I have heard by many of this man
how much evil this man has done.
Read.
And here he has authority
from the chief priests
to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him.
Now, after all of that complaining, the Lord said, but the Lord said unto him, what?
Go thy way.
Go your way. In other words, look what he's saying. Get your mind out the way. This man is a chosen vessel of mine.
Yes.
I'm about to reveal unto him. Watch this. The plans I have for him. I know what he was doing, but he was acting out what I was going to cause him to carry out. All right, here you go. See, in the church, we like to talk about all of the good stuff you're going to experience. Well, let's talk about some stuff you ain't ready for. Let's talk about some persecution you're about to go through. Let's talk about some hell you're about to go through. Because you see, when you start walking in these gifts of the Spirit, they don't just reveal to you nice stuff. Oh, y'all didn't know that. I said, just don't reveal to you nice stuff. Notice what Jesus told Ananias. Get to him. I'm going to show him. I know we ain't got to it yet. It's down there. Don't worry. Just keep reading. He said, I'm going to show you what great things he must suffer for my sake.
Yes.
Now, you ready for this? He was the one causing the church to suffer.
Amen.
God said, good. You're carrying out your assignment real well.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to draft you to handle this for my name's sake.
Yeah.
Come on, read it, because I'm going to show you something else. Read.
For I will show him.
For I will do what?
I will show him
how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Okay, so somebody say, well, what is the word of wisdom up in there? It speaks about what? The future plan of God for your life.
Yeah.
Many people are without direction. Your future is now. But God will tell you some things. They might not show up, You understand what I mean when I say they might not show up. It don't look like it's apparent that it's happening when God said it. It's actually happening the minute he said it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because in God's mind, it's done.
Yeah.
You understand? When God says something, his mind is done. You just need to stick with the course. Because it's going to bring you into some treacherous water sometime. Oh, Lord. Don't say that, Reverend. Just tell me the good stuff. All right. Here's another example. In Acts. Now, to be honest with you, if you read Acts 9, the passage we just read, 10 through 16, it is quite obvious that the word of knowledge is actually working right up in there, too, because gifts piggyback. You know, the word of knowledge is facts in the mind of God, supernatural facts in the mind of God that you couldn't have not, you would have not known except God said it. Y'all understand? Well, how did he know Paul was on Straight Street?
Come on now.
How did he know who house he was at? You understand what I'm saying? How he knew Paul was praying? How did he know in the vision he saw him? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These gifts piggyback. They work hand in hand. Apostle Thompson shared some stuff. He was talking about one day he was watching a program where they were showing President Obama as he was playing golf with Tiger Woods, and the news media didn't get a hold of it. Now, this is wild, just to show you how this gift worked. But God was ready to shift him.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Taking him off of television. Come on now. Taking him off of television. But watch, use a television program to talk to him.
Yeah.
Now, the spirit of wisdom will give you supernatural insight. To stuff you could do, bypass the world.
Yeah.
And it will revolutionize your life and your ministry. Well, what was that? It's the word of wisdom in operation. A supernatural utterance from God talking to him through a program. It can come in a vision. It can come in a dream. I'm just trying to show you how the gift works. Are you with me?
Yes.
Men of God, we have to give God the glory.
Amen.
These gifts assist us to manifest in the kingdom.
Amen.
All right. Acts chapter 8 is another manifestation. Verses 26 through 29. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. The 27th verse say what?
And
he arose.
And went.
He arose and went.
And behold,
a man of Ethiopia,
a eunuch of great authority, under Candace,
who was the queen of the Ethiopians,
who had the charge of all her treasure.
Notice he had the charge of all of her treasure.
And had come to Jerusalem
And he came to Jerusalem to worship.
He was returning.
Sitting in his chariot. And he read Isaiah the prophet.
Then
the Spirit said unto Philip,
Go near
and join yourself to him. Now somebody said, well, man, how could that be a word of wisdom? Well, did you ever stop to think who this man was? Did you ever stop to think that he was in charge of the treasure of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia? Did you ever stop to think that he was reading the book of Isaiah? Concerning, it was really Isaiah 53.
Yes.
And you know, if you read all of it, you would understand it. But do you know that God had salvation in mind for that man?
Yes.
But not just that man.
Come on,
what's about the nation?
Yeah.
If I get the queen.
Right.
Oh, come on. See, you got, if I get the queen,
yeah,
I can get the whole nation.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? God had plans for that man.
Mm.
All right. Y'all saw it?
Amen.
Hmm? See, these gifts, I say Jesus' ministry worked.
Amen.
Now, look, it's 7:25. Don't y'all let me go a minute over 7:25. My alarm ain't working tonight. Okay. So in Acts 11, you write this reference down, 28 through 30. You know? Talks about, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit. Signified by what?
The Spirit.
Signified by what?
The Spirit.
That what? That there should be a great dearth, a great famine throughout what?
All the world.
Throughout all the what?
All the world.
What?
Which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar.
Read.
Then the disciples,
every man,
according to his ability,
determined to send relief
unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did,
and sent it to the elders,
by the hand of Barnabas and Saul.
Well, you see how God revealed something that was going to happen in the future, a famine.
Yeah.
This should be no surprise to you. God is never surprised by what's going on. Y'all remember when Y2K came out? Any of y'all was here at the turn of the century? I'm just messing. Now I want you to pay attention. They had prophets. They had the prophecy club. I'm glad they shut down. They were saying, get fried beans and dried beans. You're going to need a generator. Because at the turn of the century, there's going to be this great glitch. And now here all of God's people buying beans. Generators, bottled water,
about a gallon.
They're preparing for something that God never said. I know some of y'all might have had a generator. Don't look at me. Some of y'all on the internet might have had something. Don't be acting like I don't know what I'm talking about. Everybody, but see, God don't operate through fear.
That's right.
And so this is what God told me. And this is what, see, this is how these gifts operate. God said, do you think I would let this happen and don't tell my people?
Right. Yes.
My people are supposed to be prepared for everything.
Right.
So these gifts can reveal things that's going to happen in the future. You mean tell me out of all of the people in the body of Christ, God never told none of us about Y2K except the prophecy club.
Come on now.
All right. No, I'm not saying it to be fun. It's to show you. I shared with you things that are happening in my own personal life. When a man of God stood me up and read my whole ministry before me, talked about what I'm doing now in LTMA, talked about me having over 100,000 miles of traveling from one side of this country to another, telling me that he saw doctor in front of my name. Hello. Well, I mean, could you imagine what happened tonight when I was standing up on the stage when Apostle said, I saw these extra things coming out. I'm like, what's that? Then he starts saying, I'm about to make you all doctors. Don't you know the word of the Lord that I heard in 98 showed up in 2013 and I wasn't doing nothing about it? You understand? I didn't try to go make it happen. Huh? But what I'm saying is, see, God knows your future.
Yeah.
And real men of God, when they speak, don't worry about the timetable. Some of y'all get caught up with the timetable. When a man of God speaks and it is for you and it's these gifts and manifestation, it's not if it's going to come to pass. It shall come to pass.
Amen.
Because God cannot lie. So I must be careful when I tell you God said something. Because when I'm telling you God saying something, I'm saying he's endorsing what I'm telling you, which caused you to have an expectation. And when your expectation is not fulfilled, you move into frustration and aggravation. And a lot of people just quit. You don't know how many people are discouraged because some prophecy, somebody spoke to them, didn't show up. The husband they were supposed to get married another woman. All right, now I'm going to say this in closing. I'm not trying to be funny. There was actually some ladies in the church that prophesied I was going to marry a girl who's in the church. They say they saw it in a vision. They say she was vanilla. She was light-skinned is what they meant. At the end of the day, they were right. She was light-skinned. It was the girl I met in the fifth grade. It was my wife, who I'm presently married to right now. All right? That's who they saw. This other girl still mad at me. Why am I telling you this? Watch when you prophesy.
That's right.
It's 7:25. I know it's time to stop. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
I made it?
No, I'm sorry.
I made it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Perfect.